following takes place between 6 p.m. and 7 p.m.
Welcome to Tech Access Weekly, a podcast of unspecified length concerning news and events in accessible technology. This is episode 70 for December 1st, 2010. No tweets for you! Hi, everyone.
You stopped the music.
Well, yeah.
I was getting my groove on.
Well, this is the beginning of the show, and we gotta hurry, because I got stuff to do after this.
Oh, okay.
I didn't say it was Wednesday, but it is Wednesday, people. We are 2 days behind. We are sorry.
Yes, we've had multiple computer issues and conflicts as far as scheduling, so it's been sort of a pain. If you are curious, the intro music was from Simon Perry, who provided a song called Take On Me, which is by A-ha from the 80s. He remade it in an Indian version, and it was played in the NBC TV show...
Outsourced,
yes.
And Indian,
which is very funny. But
Indian because he's like in India working with all the tech support people, right?
Yeah, he's selling American novelties like dog poop and such. But I heard that in an episode and it was just hilarious and I had to find it. And then I found it on Amazon MP3 if you are interested in getting the full version.
Apparently, he doesn't have an album, but he has other single stuff that's on Amazon MP3 that you can...
Yeah.
That you can get.
The only warning I will give is that if you start playing it, you will hum it for days on end without stopping.
Yeah, I have been humming it for 3 days. I am going to be playing it on Jazzy and Snazzy tonight, and I'm going to be playing on the Melting Pot Sunday, and it just won't ever leave me alone.
And I've created it as a ringtone.
Yep, and we have it on our phones now. Oy.
So.
Anyway, enough about that. We've got several different things to cover. A lot of this is going to be about Apple, because iOS 4.2 was released since we've been here.
Since we've missed 2 weeks, we are going to sort of play catch up a little bit. So you may have already heard some of this, and maybe some of it you have not.
So, as I said, iOS 4.2.1 was released.
Aren't you going to mention the WebAIM?
Oh, yeah. We have to plug some people.
Yeah.
We forgot about that.
Can't get good help. She goes on sabbatical for a week or so.
And I just can't do anything when I get back.
I'm still waiting for applications for a replacement, please.
We would like to give some shout outs to some people. First of all, I'd like to give a big congratulations to the folks who develop Quitter, the Quitter client for Twitter, for the visually impaired. It has been nominated for best use of an API. Mashable gives out these awards every year. And Quitter is in the top 5 nominations now because of all the votes that have been cast.
Yes, the best use of an API.
Mm-hmm. So keep voting. It's in the top 5, and it's going to battle it out with other API clients of different sorts. I forget what the top 5 are. But the fact that an accessibility, an assistive technology platform is program, whatever you want to call it,
and
is
open up source. There.
And open source is pretty fantastic. So kudos to the folks at Quitter. Very well-deserved spotlight there. Also, there is the latest in a group of surveys conducted by WebAIM, which is an initiative of a university in Utah. WebAIM is Web Accessibility in Mind. There is a survey about screen reader usage on the internet, what screen readers you use, how you find your internet experience with the screen reader and all that kind of thing, what your mobile platform is, if you have one. And you can find that survey at webaim.org.
Thanks to Ron Graham, AA Blog on Twitter, for pointing this out to us today.
Yeah, we've been, a lot of people have been taking it lately, and I just decided today to take it. And apparently, Kevin Chow and Ivan, Access Wizard on Twitter, or is it Accessibility Wizard?
Access Wizard.
Access Wizard, yes. That's what I thought.
Access_Wizard.
Yeah, he and Kevin.
Now, he doesn't have a last name, so I don't know whether he's trying to be Prince, Cher. Is he going to change it to a formerly known as? I don't know.
I'm calling him Ivan Access Wizard for the moment. He and Kevin Chow89 on Twitter, have started a podcast called VoiceOver On, and when they're going to be talking about Apple products, primarily, I think, iOS platform products. Although they may talk about Mac stuff, I'm not sure.
And the good and the bad, so it's not just a fanboy type thing.
Right.
So they say.
So they say. They very kindly donated their first episode to us as a Tech Access Daily Tip, which was iOS 4.2 released. And they talk a little bit about the voiceover improvements in that.
Yes, you can find them at twitter.com/voiceoveron and also voiceoveron.podbeans.com.
I think Podbean only has one bean.
Is it one bean?
It's one bean.
Huh.
Podbean.com.
Hmm. Guess I couldn't afford two.
No, I guess not. So I think those are the plugs that we wanted to deliver today. And
We are looking to also do Meet the Host questionnaire type episode or explanation of who in the heck we are, seeing as how people keep mentioning us in their podcast and such, which is a great thing for us.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have any questions, please email those to techaccessweekly@gmail.com or send it over Twitter. We've received a few questions, but would like more.
Exactly.
It can be anything.
About, you know, because we're here to talk about ourselves, meet the host. So anything you'd like to know about us, if we deem it talkable, we will talk about it.
Yes.
Answer it, whatever you want to call it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Simple things.
Yep, simple.
So anyway, we digress, and now we'll sort of go into a little access. Well,
iOS 4.2.
Oh, that's right. You jumped the gun on that. I thought we'd already done it.
No, anyway, we hadn't done it yet.
Okay, iOS 4.2.1 came out. It also came out with a lot of security fixes, everything from fonts that could be malicious to miscellaneous programs being able to run on your iOS devices. There's 41 of these suckers.
Apparently a bunch of WebKit fixes.
Yeah, which is very amazing, seeing as how some people say that it's so safe to be on an iOS device.
I know. Mm-hmm. And then WebKit, which is sort of the underlying nuts and bolts, is all, you know, cracked and everything, yeah, and they need to fix it.
So. But the Mac Observer website has created a list of all and description of all 41 of these fixes, and you can find that at bit.ly/iOS42security, all lowercase.
Yeah.
Just in case you wish to read in it on it and see if you're vulnerable.
But other people may find it useful. Now, something really cool.
The big news. Everybody's been wanting it for months and years.
The Beatles are on iTunes.
Oy vey.
As of, I don't know, wasn't I gone by then? Like Thursday or was it Friday?
It was last Tuesday, I believe.
Okay.
When it came out.
Well, last Tuesday then. The Beatles albums and songs, etc., are now available for purchase on iTunes.
Yeah, and it's kind of like, so? I mean, the people are thinking that you're going to be sitting here 20 years from now going, where were you when they announced Beatles on iTunes? I don't get it.
So they've sold in the millions already of how many millions?
Yeah, they have sold 450,000 albums and two million individual tracks in just the first week. So evidently somebody is clamoring for Beatles music. I figured most people had already either purchased it, stolen it, or something and put it on their own devices, but maybe it's hitting the kids area that don't really know anything about the Beatles.
Maybe, and maybe it's some people are buying one or two tracks just to say they bought some off of iTunes, too.
But I do know that when they came out with the Beatles Rock Band version, that was like the lowest grossing title for the Rock Band series, just because kids don't know anything about them.
Yeah.
It's old music, man. Dad likes it.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, in some of the wonderful news with the iOS 4.2.1, Apple is now going to start offering the Find My iPhone for free.
Yeah, I'm going to do a Tech Access Daily Tip on this, but what this is a way to locate your iPhone if you think it's lost someplace. You install the app available from the app store on your iPhone. It's an Apple app. And then you tweak a couple of settings and essentially you'll be able to see your phone on a map.
Yeah, it's linked to a Mobile Me account, which used to be $99 per year and people were getting it just for the Find My iPhone.
Yeah.
Only iOS 4.2 users can actually have it. So if you are using an iPhone 4 at that, so you can't go
you
backwards.
Use iPod touches too? Anything running
iOS 4.2? I'm not sure if you can use iPod touches if may go off of the cell signal. Maybe. Not sure. But anyway, you just have to create a free Mobile Me account. It has to be your iTunes login and password. Install the app. Tell it to let me find myself with the Find My iPhone. Mm-hmm. And boom. You can see it on a map. It allows you to send a message or a sound to it. Mm-hmm. And you can also remote wipe it, which is a good thing in case someone steals your phone or you lose it.
Yeah.
And I believe you can get to it from the Mobile Me control panel, but I haven't tried that yet.
I haven't tried it either.
But it is kind of funny.
Yeah. You sent me a message last night saying, I see you. Make me a sandwich.
Yeah, I didn't get a sandwich.
Of course not.
So, anyway, we'll move right along. Apple has also enabled AirPlay on the Apple TV with mm-hmm. their firmware update 4.1. This will allow you to seamlessly, supposedly, stream wirelessly to your television via the Apple TV, and that will grab data from your computer and iOS devices.
Also enabled on the latest firmware update for the Apple TV is voiceover guidance. So
this is a big thing.
This is a big thing for visually impaired and maybe Zoom. Zoom also there? They didn't talk about that.
I don't believe the Zoom is, but the voiceover is. It will read you title, menus. Artist, mm-hmm. Album information. It'll read you any of the metadata. Mm-hmm. So.
The one thing that people did say was there was no way to turn off the reading of title and artist information, so it reads it over the beginning of music or vocals. So, you know, that is kind of something annoying that people have found, but overall, I think the reaction is fairly positive. So now blind people are going to be able to navigate the menus and change
the settings.
Well,
it's the closest thing to a cable box that is accessible here
in
the
U.S. States. Yeah, exactly.
So it's a big deal for that. Mm-hmm. Whether you need it or not, I don't know.
Mm.
Whether it's compatible with, like, the Netflix streaming that you can do on the Apple TV, no one's really said at this point. But some people may like it. The Apple TV, if you don't know, is so that you can stream web content and stored media files to your TV.
Right.
So some people like it. It's kind of like a Roku player mm-hmm. or Google TV. But it is from Apple, and it's about the size of a little hockey puck.
Aw.
Now, speaking of, Apple was rumored by Steve Wozniak, former founder of
Apple
to purchase
Nuance Communications.
Now, this created a Twitter storm that you didn't see because I was gone away.
And I didn't see this.
Off into the wilderness.
But apparently, people were on Twitter saying, oh my gosh, he really said that? Is it really? It must be true since he said that.
Well, that and people being really negative that the fact that Apple would probably ruin it if they did have Nuance.
Yeah, and that was something. But at the same time, Nuance shares went up in value. Once the announcement was made.
Yeah, and before the announcement, they had their earnings call. They estimated their worth at $5 billion, which Apple mm-hmm. could buy at drop of a hat.
Right.
They mentioned nothing on the earnings call about Apple, which mm-hmm. you would think that if they were in talks, they would mention
you
it
would
to
think.
Boost the price, mm-hmm. you know. But nothing. A lot of people are thinking that Woz mistakenly spoke about the Siri application, which is like a voice search mm-hmm. protocol for phones and such
right.
that Apple purchased back in April, I believe it was.
Yeah, and what makes it even more confusing is that Apple does use the Nuance voice package that Nuance licenses to third parties for use in their applications.
Yeah, Nuance said that they really didn't consider Apple a major mobile client
mm-hmm.
for them, like Amazon or AT&T and other companies. I mean, it could be a very big thing if Apple was to actually purchase them, because then you would get voice activation coming to Macs and GPS applications for your iPhone. It would just be amazing how much you could do with that.
Mm.
Be very 2001, I guess.
Yeah, but they might want more control over the actual development of the product.
Yeah, but you also have to think about the fact that if it's Apple, they're most likely going to do a very good job at it because they want the customer experience to be great.
Maybe.
Or at least the experience that Steve Jobs thinks you should have
right.
to be great.
Right.
So more to come on that, seeing as how Apple could just buy them and probably 10 other companies.
But what would happen with Nuance's agreements with other companies? Like they have agreements with Humanware and other companies, Garmin, who uses their voices for the GPS software.
Yeah, that's the major concern. Mm-hmm. Would there be more agreements and NDAs and problems caused by that?
Right.
Now, as far as the 4.2.1, there's been a lot of improvements as far as the accessibility options.
Yeah, I've noticed that touch typing in particular is very fast, very quick compared to what it was. Response time is much faster. And Kevin Chow and Ivan, of course, talk about it more in their tip, more of the other improvements. Another thing I notice is that now when the phone rings, it doesn't have to vibrate. There is a setting to uncouple those in the sound settings, and that's new. There are now more text alert sounds, all hokey, but
they're there. New.
And there are a bunch of other improvements, too, but those are the first real three things that I've tinkered with.
Yeah, and I believe in their second episode, they were talking about people's concerns over privacy, because now when you actually get a text alert, VoiceOver will read the message that pops up on the screen instead of saying the time.
Yes, it does.
Now, I kind of took it as they didn't see that as a real privacy concern, but I would think it would be, seeing as how if you're in a business situation and somebody's texting you from work, you're going to get messages. Everybody around you is going to hear it.
Right.
So to me, that's not a good thing.
That's the way I see it. I wish there was a way to set it to either you can do that or you can toggle it and it'll just read the time. I mean, it is kind of handy to have it read the message, but that's if you're by yourself. I don't know that I want other people hearing when I'm being texted.
I mean, and like if you're sitting at home and you get some sort of a risque message or something and you left your phone laying on the coffee table or something, everybody in the room is going to hear what your message was. Granted, if they're sighted, they can look at it and read it just because it'll light up and say, you got a text message. Or the screen curtain's on, that would work too.
They wouldn't see it then.
You know, but I just see that as something that Apple will probably end up fixing if people actually start thinking about, where can I get bit with this?
Right.
So it's kind of like posting inappropriately on Facebook or Twitter. You don't really think of it as a problem until you accidentally say, I hate my boss. My students are idiots.
Right.
So anyway.
Speaking of text messaging, that segues nicely into our next story, which is that it's being considered in the U.S. federal government to allow 911 service to extend to mobile devices.
911 is our emergency alert system. Mm-hmm. So if you pick up the phone and you want to get police or fire or such, you will dial 911 and it'll connect you to a call center.
Right.
Apparently, 70% of calls made to 911 emergency are mobile. So they want to enable it so that people can actually send text messages, videos, and photos to 911.
Now, videos and photos, that would be great. It would give the police information, you know, about the emergency. It would help out a lot.
Yeah, it'd help out the first responders who aren't quite sure what they're looking for.
Right, exactly.
One big thing was the Virginia Tech shooting that happened back in 2007, tragically. A lot of the students were trying to text message 911, and they couldn't because they needed to be in hiding. It's kind of hard to talk on the phone to 911 when somebody's trying to find you to shoot you.
Right.
So they want to do that, and they're also talking about making automatic alerts around the area so that, say, at traffic lights and such, you would have cameras and environmental sensors that could automatically go off if there were a problem to alert people. So no clue as to when this might be implemented, but it is a good step.
Bring it into the 21st century.
And kids don't like to use phones, so most likely it would help that.
Speaking of mobile phones, a remark about the Android platform. There is a new open source screen reader that has been released for the Android market. It is called Spiel, S-P-I-E-L. It works similarly to TalkBack, which is the screen reader that comes with Android, basically, the primary one. But apparently it works better with some apps and it is more customizable. Android has this neat thing where you can switch screen readers. Like And each application can potentially be using a different screen reading software. So you can use whichever software works better with the app on the same phone.
Oh, okay.
So you can have two screen readers active, potentially. And one's working in one app, and then you pull up another app, and it knows to grab the other one. So Spiel is a new one to add to the mix. Maybe the voices are better than the ones in TalkBack. They're nasty.
Yeah, if you have any experience with these two, please let us know.
It'd be great to know
what the experience is that article came from, blindbargains.com.
Yeah, I've heard of Blind Cool Tech talk about using, people on Blind Cool Tech talk about using the Android and demonstrate the TalkBack, and that's interesting. If you have any experience with any others, we'd like to know about that too.
Yeah, and apparently there's some new ADA standards coming out for accessibility design.
Yes, accessibility design, this primarily means architecture. So the Department of Justice is coming up with revisions to Titles 2 and 3 of the Americans with Disabilities Act, which deal with our specifications for architecture in U.S. and state public buildings and other venues. So they are putting those guidelines online so that you can review and comment on them. And in order to find them, you can go to doj.gov and you can find them from there if you do a search.
Yeah. And there is a new Adobe Acrobat Reader version 10 put out that will actually allow for better usability and accessibility.
Yeah. One of the good things about it is that used to be you wouldn't, there was not a great deal of ability to add comments. Like if you wanted to make notes on a file you were reading, you weren't able to do that unless you had the pro version. But now it seems like you're able to do the equivalent of what Windows 7 sticky notes are and just make little, jot little comments and notes for yourself in the document.
Yeah, so for a visually impaired person, it's like having the book and then being able to actually scribble notes in the margin.
Exactly. So I don't know. I don't have it.
Yeah, you have to go to Adobe.com and actually try to download it from there.
Because it's a new version. It won't update version 9 automatically.
Yes.
So you'll need to do that.
So check that out. And in some very quick news, the broadcasters of America, such as NBC, Fox, CBS, and such, are suing some live streaming sites called Ivy, mm-hmm. and FilmOn because they are actually broadcasting over-the-air channels.
Whoops.
So companies are not enjoying this because they are making lucrative deals with Apple and Hulu and Netflix to stream their content. These companies are arguing that we are only doing what is over the air and we do not cut commercials or ad commercials. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. It's one of those things, kind of kludgy. Mm-hmm. Also, Hulu Plus has dropped their price to $7.99, which I believe we mentioned maybe last week. And in a move, Netflix has now introed a $7.99 streaming service, which is only for streaming. No DVDs are sent to you.
Yeah.
And they've all, but in doing that, they have increased the price of their single DVD plus everything else.
Mm-hmm.
So the single DVD price went from $8.99 to $9.99.
Yeah.
And the two disc went from $13.99 to $15.99. So everything basically went up
$1 or $2
based on what the number of discs are. So mm-hmm. if you had the, I never knew they had this, an 8-disc plan.
Oh my gosh.
It went up $8.
Mm-hmm.
So something to consider if you are Netflix user or mm-hmm. such. Especially if you like using it on your iPhone or something, if it's accessible to you,
mm-hmm.
You may want to cut back for $2.
Yeah.
Time Warner Cable is also testing a cheaper TV package.
And this is cheaper, folks. It doesn't have most of what you would probably want.
Yeah, they kind of missed the ball on this because they actually made it cheaper, but more in terms of content.
Yeah.
They're going to test it in Ohio and New York.
Mm-hmm.
Ohio will get it for $29.99 per month, and New York, I believe, is $39 for a limited time.
Yeah.
It will include all your local channels and I believe 20 additional channels with some major channels in there. The notable missing ones are ESPN, Comedy Central, TNT, Fox News, MSNBC, Fox Regional Sports, and Madison Square Garden channel.
What is that anyway?
It's a sports channel. Oh. I think they showed Yankees. But the regular price for this will be $49.95, I believe, once the promotion goes off. Doesn't seem like it would be that much more expensive just to get a regular package.
And to get us into the holiday spirit, we'll note that Amazon.com is making it even easier to give your friends and family gifts this year.
Why, yes, it is. You can give them digital gifts, gifts that they can't open anywhere. They just have to open their email.
Yeah, and what you can do is you can gift them Kindle books, and you can gift them MP3s.
So basically, you go through the store, you find things that you think someone may like. There will be a button on the where you buy it. You can say add it to cart or add it to gift. So you can actually send it to a person. You could pay for it, send it to them by email. Now, in this, they do actually allow for the person to return it or not accept it and get store credit.
Right.
So that is a good thing in case your mother thinks that you really want that Regis Philbin album.
Yeah. Also, Amazon.com has launched, in time for the holiday season to start, an iPhone app called Amazon Price Checker.
Haven't tried this yet.
I haven't either. I have installed it, but what it'll allow you to do is input an item or take a picture of an item, and it will search for it and find the best price, the best deal, apparently.
Yeah, so it's kind of a comparison shopper, just like a lot of other things out there. Do be noted that a lot of stores do not care for you to do this.
Yeah,
so if you are blind, make sure you say, well, I didn't see the sign. You know, I believe I have heard of people being kicked out of places like Best Buy for taking pictures of barcodes before.
Right.
So it's a big no-no. They don't like that.
No, they don't.
So...
One other thing you might want to be aware of, if you are, if you know someone who is an Apple fan or has an Apple device, you can also gift apps from the App Store.
Very true.
So if people don't know that, you can do that. I was wondering if my dad was going to get an iPad, and if so, I was going to gift him a certain number of apps, certain bundle, you know, make it up myself and then gift it to him. And I didn't know I could do that. And then certain people told me I could.
Yes, you can actually gift it or give them a gift card type thing, I think. Haven't tried it, though, because we don't really know anybody that has an iOS device.
No. Speaking of bundles.
Bit.ly, bit.ly, that Libyan link shortener, I guess you would say, has announced that they are going to start allowing you to enable bundles so that you can share multiple links. So you could actually take 2, 3, 4, 5, whatever number of links you want, give them a specific title and description, and send them off to people. I haven't necessarily tried this myself yet to see what the actual experience is. I'm going to guess that it's probably going to have a few accessibility issues if it has pop-ups or previews of what the links are. So that may be something to consider if you are going to Bit.ly and trying to create a link.
Right.
What were you thinking?
A Chinese woman was arrested for a retweet.
Yes, on her wedding day.
On her wedding day. Her fiancé had apparently tweeted something, kind of a sarcastic remark, about Chinese and Japanese disputes that were going on. I don't really know.
Actually, they were 20 years ago. It was
they were 20
year old. The Red Square disputes or something from way back when.
Not some kind of group of islands out in the South China Sea someplace.
Yeah, it was something crazy.
Anyway, so she retweeted his tweet and was subsequently arrested.
Yeah, she added a comment to the effect of... young Chinese rise up against this or something like that, or you go or something. I didn't catch the translation exactly.
And so...
I guess it's just a no retweets for you.
Yep. I guess, you know, government didn't like that.
Yeah. Some people have said that the Twitter kind of goes up and down as far as accessibility in China because of the government not liking it and such. So I guess she probably either had access or circumvented that by sneaking around.
Somehow. Well, that's going to wrap it up for us today.
Yes, this mess that you have been listening to is Tech Access Weekly, episode
70.
Woohoo!
To find out more information about the stories we talked about and others we considered, go to delicious.com/techaccess/70. Woohoo! And if you have any comments, suggestions, or other extraneous material to tell us about, please feel free to get in touch with us via email, website, Twitter, or voice. You can hear about how to do that at the end.
Yes, and we released 5 straight episodes on our audio and studio setup
last week
on our Daily Tips, episodes 86 through 90, I believe it was.
Mm-hmm.
If you haven't heard those, you may want to check those out. Had a lot of feedback, and it actually generated some discussion last week as far as what people use, so that was kind of good.
So that's good. We have some jealous people who can't afford what we have.
Yeah, and some people that give you the typical, well, I got this, and it's fine, and it's perfect, and I like it, and it's better than what you have.
That's fine.
Okay.
Whatever. I don't care.
Choose what you want.
And we afforded it. We got lucky.
Yes, very much so.
Very
saved a little
lucky
money here and there with Black Friday
last year. Was good to us last year. So, anywho.
And if you want to take the PodTrack survey on this crazy podcast or the Daily Tips podcast, please do so at techaccessweekly.com. Your input is greatly appreciated. All information is
confidential.
Exactly.
But I'll say just before we end, any comments or suggestions on tips that we can do, please let us know in particular. And also, if you have any questions for the hosts, we'd love to hear them so that we can put together a meet the hosts.
Yes, because we are sort of the mysterious.
Yes.
Ooh. And be sure to check out the mushroomfm.com on Sundays from 7 to 10 p.m. You can hear The Melting Pot with Aaron here. Mm-hmm. And you can also check out Jazzy and Snazzy.
For the remainder of December, it will be from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. Eastern on Wednesday evenings.
And regular scheduling after that will be to be determined at this point.
Yeah. So, hope to see you all next time.
Bye-bye.
Stay tuned. Bye.
Bye. Again.
To contact the team for Tech Access Weekly, send an email to techaccessweekly@gmail.com. You may follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/TA_weekly. You may comment on our voice line at 260-2-ASK-TAW, 260-227-5829. To find a list of the stories covered in each episode, please visit delicious.com/techaccess. Feel free to visit our website at techaccessweekly.com.